Chapter 7 Allegiance Writ Red. It was a fool's gambit. Da Costa was starving, outnumbered and outmatched in the belly of the beast. But as they say in Osway, sinner, 'tis not the size of the dog in the fight that matters, but the size of the fight in the dog. And Da Costa had that in abundance. He was dirty and dishevelled, beard caked with blood, but still magnificent. Alabaster muscle and golden hair, silver ink gleaming on his bare chest. He struck the wolf mother's jaw, splintering teeth and splitting lips. As Kiara staggered, Aaron seized the silver steel dagger she held and twisted with such force her wrist shattered like ice. Hand on hers, Da Costa drove his blade up into her chest.
"Burn in hell, leech," he hissed.
Kiara's good hand closed around Aaron's throat. "Thus, my boy." The wolf mother lifted the fledgling off his feet and slammed him down into the flagstones. A boom rang out as the court of monsters roared in approval. Dior was half off her feet when she felt a hand on her shoulder, strong as a dozen men.
"Near foolishness, girl," Kane warned.
Kiara lifted Aaron like a sack of feathers and slammed him down like a barrow of bricks. His skull shattered, blood spilling from his nose and ears. He twisted the knife in her chest as she slammed him down again, again, the walls trembling as if the earth quaked. And already weak and starving, and wounded now enough to end any mortal man, Aaron's hand slipped off the hilt of his old blade. Kiara released her dreadful grip, braids tumbling about her red grin as she balled her fist to crush his face.
"Daughter."
The wolf mother glanced up to Nikita, frozen, but the ancient's eyes were fixed on Aaron, gleaming with fascination.
"Stay thy hand," he murmured. "Too fine to spill this wine thou hast brung us."
The tumult died as Nikita rose to his feet, straightened his coat, and descended the dais. Dior looked utterly helpless, wretched, seething. That awful grip tightened on her shoulder. She couldn't rise no matter how much she wished it. But we suspect still she might have tried, had Aaron himself not caught sight of her. The fledgling blinked in confusion, bewildered to see her there, but begging her hold with a shake of his head. Nikita loomed over Aaron now, dark gaze roaming silver ink and muscled flesh.
"Ye fight with heart, golden one, but thou art silver saint no more."
The ancient gestured to the tattoos on Aaron's flesh, bereft of the light of faith, the love of God.
"Thy Almighty hath turned his back upon thee. Thou art ill-used, and now discarded by heaven's callow king. Come ye, set aside mortal pride, and pledge thy blade to a sovereign worthy of it. Thou art remade, child, reforged in the blood of Divok, the blood of mighty Nikita, who hath crushed all Osway beneath his heel. Not even great Toliev managed such a feat. Yet in 2 short years hath the Blackheart brought this nation to its knees, and sits now as king and conqueror upon the Nine Swords throne."
Nikita gestured to the ironwood chair behind him, an iron ring embossed with the sigil of his line, glinting upon one marbled finger.
"Kneel before us. Press ruby lips to our seal and pledge red allegiance to thy priori."
Nikita smiled, black and bleak.
"If think ye thou art worthy of this blessing."
All eyes were on the fledgling now, Aaron's face twisting as he rolled onto his belly. He looked around the hall, saw the hopelessness of his plight, Dior begging beneath her breath that he obey. Golden hair, wet with blood, face twisted with the agony of broken bones and burning silver, Aaron crawled across the rubble, inch by inch, drop by drop. He reached the Blackheart's boots, the iron bear upon that signet ring, gleaming as Nikita offered his hand. The fledgling took it, looked up into ancient smiling eyes, and with a snarl, he spat a mouthful of blood onto the Divok sigil. Dark murmurs rippled among the congregation as Aaron balled his fists and, despite his wounds, rose to stand on trembling feet.
"I am Aaron da Costa," he declared, "Lord of Avalane and son of San Michon. I have slain more of your kind than I can count, leech. And though you say my god has turned his back on me, I'll not turn my back on him."
His eyes welled with bloody tears, voice trembling with hatred.
"For I would be truly damned if ever I knelt before the likes of you."
Nikita smiled wider now, all the way to his gleaming fangs. He lifted his palms and glanced about the gathering as if asking that flock of devils to bear witness.
"He kneels for none, his worth proven, his blood untamed."
"Untamed," Saraya cried, raising a goblet. "Sante!"
"Sante," came the cry, echoing around that blood-stained hall.
"Divok!"
Nikita moved, so swift it was difficult to see. His hand was at Aaron's throat, lifting him as if he weighed no more than smoke and dreams. Aaron tried to break that awful grip, but the ancient only raised his wrist to his teeth and bit deep. And pressing the bleeding vein to Aaron's mouth, the laird of the Divok's tongue became a whip.
"Drink."
Aaron ceased his struggles at once. As if commanded by God's own voice, he clutched Nikita's wrist. And as Dior looked on in horror, Kiara with a darkening scowl, Aaron drank like a man dying of thirst. Nikita smiled, a sigh of dark pleasure slipping bloodless lips, looking the fledgling over with void dark eyes.
"All my power," he whispered. "All my hatred, all my rage be now thine, child, and two nights hence thou shalt also be."
Nikita gasped, lips parted, his own fangs grown long and hard as Aaron drank. The Blackheart allowed the beautiful Capitaine of Avalane to swallow one more moaning mouthful, running a red tongue over his lips, before tearing his wrist free.
"Enough for now, Golden One."
And with a twist of his wrist, Nikita snapped Aaron's neck. The fledgling's body dropped to the stone, and Dior cried his name before a torturous squeeze to her shoulder stilled her. Nikita turned to Kiara, his smile a blade.
"I thank thee, daughter. A worthy gift. Relish, I do, the thought of playing with it."
Kiara bowed low, but a shadow of her scowl remained, her eyes now drifting to Aaron, sprawled upon the bloody floor. A pair of thrall swords dragged the Capitaine's body from the hall, Nikita retiring to his throne, admiring his new dagger. The silver steel sizzled as the beautiful monster pressed it to his smallest finger, a wisp of smoke rising from marble skin. Whispers passed among the gathering, the court clearly intrigued at the news Nikita had a new grandchild born of hunter's stock, and that the Blackheart intended to keep him. But Lily only stifled a yawn.
"A vulgar display."
Those black eyes fell on her niece once more, golden nails drumming on her chair.
"Weeks o'erdue, our foul blood's starving, cousin Rickard slain, and thou wouldst appease our displeasure with dead kittens and another mouth to feed?
My wagons are filled to bursting, m'lady.
Kiara bowed with hand to her long-dead heart.
The seed our priori planted will come to bloom. O'er 1,000 head await your pleasure in the courtyard, but one last prize have I brung ye, a treasure worth any delay, and the weight of all my crop in nights to come, I'll wager.
Treasure? Lily lifted one pale hand, brushing one of the long horns of her crown. Another whelp to ruin our floors with.
At last, Kiara motioned to the girl kneeling far behind her, and Lily's ancient eyes fell on Dior like an anvil from the sky.
The one-eyed wolf had been watching the Grail intently since she entered the hall, but now all in the room focused on her. Dior's heart was thundering, her palms gone damp and slick. She'd met elders before, stood against the youngest son of the Forever King, and won. But the pride she'd felt at that feat must surely have seemed the darkest sort of vanity now, and the heated words she'd spat at Gabriel when he tried to tell her the danger she was in, the whining of a foolish child. Nikita frowned.
What worth this slip of a boy?
No boy, brother,
Lily replied, looking Dior over with rising fascination.
A maid, we mark her, and finest cut at that. Chaste angels would tremble at her perfume. Nikita sniffed the air, his attentions sharpened. The ancient only breathed when he needed to speak. But now he rose again from his throne, rippling like black silk, and Dior shrank back from the dreadful hunger in his eyes. How small she must have felt then. How weak. Looking around the room and seeing how little she meant, how easily these things could twist her open and snuff her out. Just one more mouthful in their brimming goblets. Nikita's lips parted, and the Grail shuddered at the gleam of the fangs beyond.
Father, Kiara said. Nikita glanced at his daughter, annoyance in pitch-black eyes.
Forgive me.
The wolf mother lowered her gaze. But nae mere draught have I brung ye to sup and toss. This girl travelled in the company of Gabriel de Leon, and in the field where I felled him, Cain and I also crossed blades with 2 princes of Blood Voss.
Lily looked to her brood son, and Cain nodded once more.
Lady Alba and Lady Elaine, Contessa.
Nikita shrugged.
The lion's feud with the Ironhearts be well known.
Aye, father, Kiara nodded. Yet the terrors sought nae the lion's death, but the life of this bairn here. Captured, nae killed.
The gathering was bristling now, tension rising as more of the monsters caught a hint of Dior's scent under the reek of blood. But Lily was staring at the Grail, her eyes dark and fathomless, hungrier than the wolf beside her.
Worm.
The Heartless snapped her fingers. Where art thou? A lass appeared from the shadows, as if conjured by magic. Her hair was a bright strawberry blonde, and she was dressed in homespun linen, common servant's attire. She scuttled forward, diving onto her belly before Lily's throne. Gathering her splendid gown, the Heartless used the young woman like a footstool, stepping onto her back and then to the floor. The wolf rose to its feet. Stalking beside her, ladies in waiting flocked at her back. There were 3 of them, mortals and rare beauties all. 2 red-headed maids, like enough in seeming to be sisters, and an older dame at their fore, a woman with piercing blue eyes and a scar down her chin, stooping to lift the long train of Lily's dress. Lily moved, serpentine,
seeming almost to float in the sudden still. Cain bowed and melted away, leaving Diu alone on her knees. The girl kept her eyes averted, the peril now grown so thick about her, her skin prickled at the chill. The shadow Lily threw on the floor was all curved horns and clawed hands, not so much a maid's as a devil's.
"Who art thou, mortal?"
the Heartless demanded.
"Diu la chance," she whispered.
The white wolf growled, ears pressed back to his skull.
"Hush, prince," Lily murmured. "How comes it ye kept company with the murderer of our lord and father?"
It was Nikita speaking now, eyes boring into her own.
"How knew ye Gabriel de Lyon?"
Diu glanced around her, an ocean of wolves, and she, the bleeding lamb.
"A sister from San Michon saved me from the Holy Inquisition," she replied, her voice frail and small. "She asked Gabriel for help protecting me, but then she died, and Gabe is a man who keeps his promises."
She faltered then, licking at dry lips.
"I mean, he was."
"And why do the daughters of our hated foe seek thee?"
Lily's voice was the smoke of a cigarette, drifting soft over Dior's skin.
"What doth Fabian Vos want with thee?"
"I don't know."
The Grail shivered as Lily's hand brushed her jaw. The Heartless slipped one finger under her chin, lifting Dior's face so she finally met the Ancient's black gaze.
"Speak truth,"
Lily commanded. Dior flinched as the whip in those words cracked in the air, echoing on the walls around her. She cried out, terrified, shrill.
"I don't know."
"She has gifts, milady," Kiara said. "One of the scorched I claimed at Aveline was wounded in a scrap, stabbed thrice through the chest, all but a corpse. Yet this girl, she..." The wolf mother shook her head, still bewildered. "She laid hands upon the wounds, and at her command, his dying heart was made well."
"But have a care, mother,"
the headsman warned, raising his still scarred hand.
"Her blood is a venom to our kind, burned me to cinders where it touched me."
The Heartless smoothed back Dior's ashen hair, peering deep into her eyes.
"Sorceress art thou, fae-born lamb, or servant of the pit, or concubine to gods of old? By what magics burn thee flesh immortal, and wrest failing hearts from death's cold hand?"
Dior's reflection gleamed on those perfect black eyes, small and pale and completely alone, but despite her terror, or perhaps because of it, cunning remained.
"I don't know how I can do it," she lied. "I don't know what I am."
She shook her head.
"And I don't know why the Forever King hunts me."
"Speak truth,"
Lily demanded, the command reverberating in Dior's skull.
"I don't know. I swear on my father's grave."
Lily leaned back, exchanged a dark glance with her brother.
"Worm."
The Heartless patted her thigh as if beckoning a pet. "Come." The serving girl, lying face down before Lily's throne, rose immediately, scuttled forth swift as a rat to drainpipe, and sank once more to her knees.
"Your command, mistress?"
The girl's eyes were filled with ardour as she looked upon the vampire. They were mismatched, one bright green, the other deep blue. Her skin was lightly freckled, her hair like summer flame. A thrall brand was scorched atop her hand, an ornate crown set with twisted antlers matching those on the maidservants now gathered at Lily's back. Dior blanched as the Heartless drew a dagger from her embroidered bodice. The weapon was ornamental, yet still deadly, its blade sharp and thin, golden hilt wrought with a roaring bear. As the monsters in that bloody court looked on, Lily handed the serving girl the blade and glanced to her niece, Kiara. 3 times in the chest, ye say? The wolf mother nodded.
Thrice if it was once, my lady.
Dior's eyes widened.
What are you?
Stab thyself, Lily commanded. Not a breath, not a beat, not a blink passed before the maidservant obeyed, plunging the knife into her breast. Dior screamed, reaching out to stop her as the heartless spoke. Again. The serving girl obeyed, eyes bright with pain, breath already rattling as she dragged out the blade and buried it deep. The ladies-in-waiting looked on horrified, but none moved a muscle to stop the madness. Dior lunged for the knife, but with one hand, effortless, the Contessa di Voc held her still. And black eyes still fixed on the serving girl, she spoke. Again.
No!
The girl obeyed, wrenching the knife from her bleeding heart and thrusting it back to the hilt. Her hands were soaked with blood now, her face gone white, and her bodice drenched red. But still, she looked up at Lily with mismatched eyes, brimming with love, twisting the knife free and holding it poised, as if anticipating her mistress's next command. The heartless smiled.
Ah, thanks, worm.
The girl smiled in return, a ribbon of blood spilling from her lips, and pale, wheezing, she crumpled like a broken doll to the stone.
Are you fucking insane?
Dior cried, trying to twist herself free. Lily released her grip, turned her gaze upon the girl.
Demonstrate.
Dior looked to the maidservant, lying on her back in a pool of her own blood. The lass stared yet at her mistress, lips moving perhaps in prayer, breath bubbling in her throat. She was but a few heartbeats from death. To do nothing was to consign this poor girl to her grave. But if one listened, my brother's voice could almost be heard upon the air.
You're not sporting with the puppies anymore. You're running with the wolves.
In a dark cave below the cellars of Sol Adair, Marquis Jean-Francois of the Blood Shuston rolled his eyes, shaking his head as he dipped his quill. Black water babbled in the space between chronicler and storyteller, Selene glancing across the dark river.
You sigh, historian. Does our tale bore you?
No. I am simply dreading another effusive barrage about the saintliness of one Dior la Chance.
The vampire waved his quill in dramatic fashion, doing a passable impression of Gabriel's growl.
Eyes that saw the hearts of the world, and a heart that wanted to fix them.
Selene scoffed.
Is that what my brother told you?
Jean-Francois thumbed back through his tome that he might quote directly. She reminded me so much of my own daughter, it made my chest ache.
Almighty Redeemer, that man never met an aggrandizement he wouldn't dip his wick into, I swear it.
The last Liathe levered herself onto her elbow, regarding the historian through long, dark curtains of hair.
Let us tell you the truth about Dior la Chance, Shuston. For while there will be some in this tale who name her saint, the Grail of Saint Michon was as far from that as heaven is wide. She was no pious angel, nor selfless martyr. She was a gutter rat, a whore child, a girl raised on cold, hard streets with cold, hard choices. Steal or starve, lie or die. Dior la Chance was a grifter, a thief, but above all,
an opportunist. It would have been obvious from the moment she entered that city, the second she witnessed the reaping in that courtyard, how little life mattered to these monsters. And though her mind remained ever closed to us, though we knew not her thoughts, it was plain she had no intent to be just one more fool strung up from their ceilings. Dew snatched the blade from the serving girl's fingers and sliced the heel of her hand. As the perfume of her blood kissed the air, every vampire in that hall bristled and sighed. Lily wet her lips with a long red tongue as Dior cut the maid's bodice ties, loosed the blood-soaked chemise underneath. And as Lily and her beautiful brother watched, utterly enthralled, the Grail pressed a red hand to the maidservant's wounds. And before their dead eyes, those wounds stitched closed. A murmur rolled among the assembly. The Count and Contessa matched undying stares. Dior wrapped a grubby kerchief tight about her sliced hand, then helped the maidservant sit up, still pale and drenched in red. The girl looked utterly astonished, staring down at her unpunctured chest, then up into the Grail's ice-blue eyes.
Sweet mother maid.
A bloody miracle, sure and true. Lily fixed Dior with a gaze so hungry and deep it spanned an age. And thou hast no ken how this working be thine. The Grail stood, pale lips and liar's tongue.
I've always been able to do it.
Lily nodded, her midnight eyes narrowed in thought, and she sucked slow upon the plump swell of her lower lip, looking Dior over from head to heel. And finally, lifting one clawed hand, she dragged it across her neck, cutting deep into porcelain flesh. Dior's eyes widened as the vampire slipped an iron arm about her waist, drew her close.
Sister,
Nikita said. Lily looked to her brother, expectant.
Hold, he told her.
Why? She demanded, meeting his stare. A prize Nikita hath claimed already this night. A feast of them, by our counting. A grandson to bolster the ranks of his lords, a brace of cattle for his larder, a blade for his armory. Wouldst he lay claim this prize also? What then remains for Lily? Think from her maid's seeming she shall be satisfied with a maid's portion. Thou art her priori, brother, but not her elder. The ancient matched stares. The gathering stared at them. It seemed the politics of Nikita's court were a thorny snarl, power divided between this prince who wore the crown and his older sister who somehow vouchsafed it. But while the eyes of the courtiers were fixed upon the Count and Contessa, Dior stared only at that slice in Lily's throat, the blood spilling thick down the vampire's décolletage.
A thrall will kill for her master, die for her master, commit any atrocity for the one she's bound to.
We shall not break her, brother, Lily promised. Simply break her in. Nikita pondered an eternal moment, but finally,
as it please thee, sister.
Lily smiled, and this time it reached her eyes. And without more ado, she wrenched Dior tight to her body and pressed the girl's lips to her wounded throat. Dior gasped, face twisting in revulsion, crimson smudged slick and sticky across her mouth. But try as she might, she could not resist that hell-born grip, nor break that hateful embrace.
Drink.
Lily whispered. She might have fought, fruitlessly, certainly,
but sometimes to resist without hope of victory is the only victory to be won. Yet, Dieu la Chance was ever a gambler, and with so much at stake, it seemed she resolved to keep the few cards she had close to her chest. And so, beneath the hungry stares of that court of monsters, wrapped in that ancient's pale arms, the Grail of San Michon breathed deep. She closed her eyes, and she drank.